Certainly thankful to be here. I enjoyed the song service in my car. And I tell you, I-4 was jammed up, and so it did make it a little difficult. And I am getting older, and it's harder to drive in the evening. So I appreciate your pastor inviting me out at night. I love you, Pastor. I love him very much, and you know him well, and you know that that's not easy. So thankful to be here this evening. I don't know if I've met Elder Green before. I don't think I have, but then with my memory, we might have preached together last week, and I wouldn't have any idea. So I'm glad to be here with him and get to meet him. It's a great opportunity for me, and I'm thankful for it. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the book of Galatians. Brother Chris didn't know exactly if Elder Green would get here and what amount of time I would have. So I have a one-hour sermon and a half-hour sermon and a 10-minute sermon. Who am I kidding? I've never had a 10-minute sermon in my life. But anyway, I'm going to try to make this quick. When he invited me, I was sitting in a Mexican restaurant and just had a great meal and everything was going fine. And I got a call. I looked and I said, Chris Cross. I said, well, I answer that. What could this be? So he said, I need you to do me a favor. No problem. He said, I want you to come down here and preach tonight. And I started shaking and quivering and told my friend we got to get out of there and I got to get back home. And I thought about what to talk to you about this evening. And in a meeting like this, sometimes I like to keep it light because it's a celebration and so forth. But it's a Thursday night, and so I knew this would be some of the real soldiers come out this evening. And also, I've known you for years. I've been coming down here for over 40 years. Not a lot since Brother Chris has been here. But anyway, just kidding. About 40 years, over 40 years, I've been around the Old Baptist and been coming down here. I want to bring you something this evening, and I'm going to have to condense some of it, and it's a good thing that I do. But for the last 4 weeks at Winter Garden Church, I've been talking about Christian liberty. Christian liberty is a subject that interests me greatly. And in the book of Galatians, Paul talks to them about Christian liberty. Galatia was a church that Paul started. But in this letter, he's not happy with them. In fact, this is a very cool letter, a very cold letter for the Apostle Paul. He tells them, I'm shocked, I'm perplexed. I left you in good shape. You understood the gospel. And I left you understanding the gospel. And now, I hear, you're leaving the gospel. He says, I don't understand that. I don't understand why people who could be so sound one minute could be so far off the next minute. And as a pastor, I hate to see some of our members go off into other orders. People who sat there and listened, people who grew up in the church. I think, what's happened to you? Well, they've heard another gospel that's not really a gospel. And so they have to deal with this problem. Now, there's two sets of circumstances here. And like I say, it's taken me 4 weeks to do this at Winter Garden Church. But I went into details that aren't necessary here. Things I wanted them to know that I don't want to stir up here. There was a trial in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas were called to question. You've been preaching to the Gentiles. And some of the Judaizers are angry. What they've done is they've gone into the churches that Paul has preached at and said, Paul did a great job. But he left out one thing. In his excitement and his zeal, he forgot to tell you that you have to become Jews first, like the rest of us, and then you can become Christians. You can't just come from being a Gentile into a Christian. That's typical of the Church of Jesus Christ since he left. It's always been under attack by people who have taken the gospel and said, it's all right, but you have to have faith. You have to keep the sacraments. You have to do good works. And if you fail in your good works, whoop, down you go. You have to do this or you have to do that. What can wash away my sins? Something plus the blood of Jesus. That's what's been happening to the Christian church from its very beginning. And it's still happening today. It's still happening. You can tell somebody and they can thrill to salvation by grace and then listen to some TV preacher or talk to somebody else and say, well, that's fine as well as it goes. But what about you got to have faith? You got to come down to the mourner's bench. You have to change your entire way of life. You have to become this before you can become this. Well, they had a conference, and you can read about it in Acts 15. But what happened was basically this. Paul and Barnabas show up to defend themselves. And Peter stands up. I think it's the last time we find him in the New Testament. But Peter stands up and he says, men and brethren, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion in the Italian band. Now, that wasn't like the Rolling Stones or something. The Italian band was a group of men. He was a soldier, and he was in charge, you see. And they said, Peter said, I was told by the Lord to go to him, and he sent for me, and I started preaching to him, and they got the Holy Ghost. I hope you all get the Holy Ghost. If not while I'm preaching, while he's preaching or sometime, you get the Holy Ghost. Primitive Baptists don't like get the Holy Ghost. They're afraid of the Holy Ghost. That's a true story. The man came down and he was a visitor first time. He hollered, amen. People looked at him. You know, they didn't like it. Preacher preached some more. He said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pretty soon a deacon went down and sat next to him. He said, what do you think you're doing? He said, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, you didn't get it here. Quit it. Hey, we're not supposed to show a lot of emotion. We're conservative, southerner. We don't show a lot of emotion. Peter said, these men got the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can see it came down all over them. They were hollering amen. Hallelujah. And so he said, I baptized them. Paul said, you know, that's exactly what happened to me. Paul got right up after Peter and he said, that's what happened to me. I was preaching to these Gentiles and they got the Holy Ghost. They said, hallelujah, in Greek, whatever that is, I don't know. Because it's Greek to me. But anyway, he said, hallelujah, praise God. And he said, I baptized them. That's just what happened to me. Well, they started discussing it in James, the pastor of the church. And there's a whole lesson there too, but I won't get into it tonight. I know y'all love your pastor. There's a lesson there. The pastor stood up and he said, this is my ruling. We're going to send a letter to these brethren up in Antioch. Antioch was a Gentile church. The first one we can see started without an apostle. Started by normal people, just like this church here. Just like my church. And he said, we're going to send a letter to them and we're going to tell them two things. Number one, no idols. Number two, moral code. Now, basically what they were saying was, all this idol worship you Gentiles are mixed up in, you're going to forget that and it's going to be one God and one God only. And you're going to obey the moral codes. All this two wives and three wives and all that. He said, if you'll do that, if you'll just do those two things, we'll be in fellowship with you. But you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to become Jews. All you have to do is follow these two things. And when he said that, the council settled down and that was the ruling. Now they decide to send a letter to Antioch. Okay, this is where I'm going to pick up in Galatians. Let's pick up here. And I don't know, I'm so far ahead of my notes right now. And I do use notes, and if that makes anybody uncomfortable, too bad. Anyway, I'm up here, so I won't know it. Anyhow, chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. The two giants of the New Testament. Locked in combat. He said, I went up to Peter, and it's an old southern expression, you probably all don't know it. He said, I got in his beard. I got right up in his face. He said, I withstood him. For before that certain came from James, before the letter got there, the letter that said, all you have to do is one God and one God only, and obey the moral code, before that letter got there, he said, before that, he did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter gets there, and the Gentiles are eating and having a bacon sandwich, you know. BLT. Peter said, I love this bacon. Give me another one. And he's sitting there with the Gentiles, having a good time, eating a bacon sandwich, some potato chips. All of a sudden, they look out the window. Here comes those people from Jerusalem. The Jews from Jerusalem. With the letter. These Orthodox Jews? Peter's like, he throws his napkin over that bacon sandwich. He walks over here. Hello, good to see you. And now he won't have anything to do with the Gentiles. He's only going to live with the Jews over here. They say, I smell bacon. Peter said, I don't smell a thing. He's a spiritual chameleon. Whoever he's with, that's what he's going to be like. You say, well, Brother Glenn, that's horrible. I know preachers like that. I preach with them. You preach with them one place and they're all for this. You preach with another place, they're all for that. And you know what? They fill tons of appointments because they're whatever you want them to be. I don't fill so many because I say the same thing everywhere I go. So it doesn't matter. They don't like it, they don't like it. They don't call you back, see? That's just the truth. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. You can't praise God and fear man at the same time. You can't do it. If you do, your praise will be no good. How can you go to the God of glory and say, but I'm afraid of this man next to me? No, you can't do that. So I'm going to make a point here then. Strict adherence to man's doctrines and practices will cause divisions in the body of Christ. Strict adherence to man's doctrines and practices will cause divisions in the body of Christ. It caused a division there that day between Paul and Peter. Between the Gentiles and the Jews, caused a division right then and there because Peter was acting on tradition instead of acting on the gospel, even though he'd been there in the conference. He was there. He saw everything that happened. Well, ministers can change too. I can remember 35 years ago, defending meeting once a month. Revelation 22:2, tree bears its fruit once every month in its season. I said, that's proof positive. We ought to meet once a month. And a very well-known minister started arguing with me. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. Every Primitive Baptist church ought to meet once a month, and I'm not hearing anything else other than that. Now, we just parted ways. See, I was going on what I'd heard, not what I'd read. I had heard this from men I respected, and I advocated it. And no telling how many people got the wrong idea from things I said. Because you see, that happens. Oh, watch in verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, with Peter, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Peter's got a posse. He walks over here. Other Jews come. Barnabas is standing by himself with the Gentiles, trying to cover up all that bacon. He doesn't feel good about it. So he walks over here too. Now we've got an absolute split in the congregation, a split in the body of Christ, and these two giants are locked horns in this controversy. It still happens today. It still happens today. You say, well, Brother Glenn, that's horrible what happened back there. Well, it's horrible when it happens today. Okay? People will follow a bad example. They'll follow a bad example every time. It's easier to follow a bad example. Verse 14. Let's take Paul and bring him to the rescue. Paul continues, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why, you who can't live as a Jew all the time, do you want them to live like Jews? You can't do it. You smell that bacon, you were right over there with everybody else. You see some preachers, they dig right in. You were right over there. You want to eat bacon when there's no Jews around, but when there's Jews around, you don't want to have any bacon, and you don't want the Gentiles to do it either. You like the farmer's dog guarding the garden patch. You know, won't eat any lettuce, but you don't want anybody else to have any either. And that's just the way you are. We still have that problem in the church today. People falling out, not over doctrine, not over practice. People falling out over the different way we do things. Man pleasers. Somebody said, well, didn't Paul become all things to all men? Yes, but he never changed his message. See, I got in my church, you know, we got Koreans, we got blacks, we got Hispanics, we got everything. Well, I might have a Korean boy talk to a friend at school about salvation by grace in English, and that night talk to somebody in the Korean language about it. But his message didn't change. Just his speech changed. That's all. His message doesn't change. I know him. See, I know they don't change. So there was a big blow up, and you can read about the rest of that on your own because I want to get out of the way here, but I want to make some points. As primitive Baptist churches, we are allowed Christian liberty. Let me explain why. When the Jews came out of Egypt, they were childish. They had never had a country. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They'd never had a country. They didn't have leaders. They didn't have a military. They didn't have a monetary system. They didn't have anything. And God says to Moses, take them out of here. And so Moses does. Over 1.5 million people. I want you to think of that next time he talks to the rock and it gives out water. That looked like Niagara Falls. You think about how many boxcars of food it took to feed those people every single day. That's over 1.5 million people. That's a big city. But there's no rules. They don't know anything about governing themselves. They don't know. Hey, they don't know anything about God. They don't even know the character of God. So God takes his chosen nation. The first time God had a nation. And he said, here's the rules. Now, look at it this way. When you're a little child, your mother might say, don't go in the street. If you go in the street, you're going to get a whipping. Don't you go in that street. You get a little bit older, and you might say, well, I'm going across the street to visit a friend. And your mother said, well, you better look both ways. You know what I want. Look both ways for those cars. Finally, you get to the age where you go out, and your mom just says, be careful. Remember who you are. You know what we expect of you. She doesn't have to detail everything because you know your parents intimately and what they expect and what they want. But these people coming out of Egypt, forget it. They don't know anything. So they go into the book of Leviticus. God gives them one rule after another. They can't eat shrimp and lobster. Read it. It's in there. Read the book of Leviticus, especially if you can't sleep. Read the cure for leprosy. I mean, it's going to knock you out. God goes into infinite detail about everything they have to sweep and wash and clean. But you see, they don't know anything. They don't know. But by the time Jesus comes and establishes church, God's children know what God wants. We've got the commandments. We've got the examples. Jesus lays down the parables. And if you don't know what God looks like, Jesus said, here I am. I'm right here in front of you. And watch how I act. For 3 years, you can watch what I do and what I say and how I teach and who I'm around. You can watch me and see me because I'm going to leave you, and I'm going to leave you as a mature church. The elect family will now be a mature church, and we want you to act like that, and we're going to put you on your own because we now want mature worship. We want mature love, not this childish stuff from before. We want you to love us because we've saved you by grace. And so we want you to love us. And we know that you'll act accordingly. And so we have less commandments in the New Testament. We have less restrictions. Let me give you some examples. Conference. Almost every primitive Baptist church has conference. Marty Hoskins said every primitive Baptist church is one conference from splitting up. Conference can be rough. We had one a couple months ago in our church that we're still shaken from. It was a rough conference. Conference is a rough thing. I don't like conference. I'd never have another one. Somebody said, but Brother Glenn, in our church, we have them every month. We love conference. In fact, some articles, some rules of decorum say, if you miss two conferences, you have to give a reason. You can miss all the church you want, but you better not miss conference, because that's where the action is. And back in those days, it might have been. That's where the action was. I think the action ought to be in the worship service. That's where the excitement ought to be, not in making motions. But if you have conference, are you going to use Robert's Rules of Order or parliamentary procedure? That's up to you. See, that's called Christian liberty. Little Union Church gets to have conference when they want to, the way they want to. And Winter Garden Church has nothing to say about it. Because you have come together as a congregation in love over Jesus Christ in order to run your church. You get to do it the way you want. How about women's song leaders? Brother Glenn, you've gone too far. Women's song leaders. I had a brother say to me, Brother Glenn, it says clearly in the Bible, suffer a woman not to teach. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I said, well, if a man is leading a song by Fanny Crosby, who's doing the teaching? I haven't got an answer to that yet. You don't have one either that you like. Because that woman's doing the teaching whether you like it or not. And you've been doing it all along. And you're singing down here is beautiful. In Winter Garden, we don't have beautiful singing. Somebody said, y'all sing a cappella? I said, no, we sing Acapulco. It's just not good, see? It's not good. But I know this, that in my opinion, and we still use men's song leaders, but in my opinion, it really doesn't matter because the person that pitches the song is not doing the teaching. Now, if you had a female song leader and she ran up and down here like Joyce Meyer, storming around like a caged lion, talking about the doctrine in the song before, you might have a problem. I don't have that problem at my church. My sisters aren't like that. They're good sisters, and they're mature sisters, and they know how to behave in church, even though we don't use them to lead singing. When to meet? Once a month? Twice a month? How about this? Four times a month, but fifth Sunday we don't meet. Or four times a month, and on the third Sunday we meet on the Saturday before if the preacher's redheaded and he's left-handed. That's up to you. Meet when you want to meet. That's God gave you that ability. You're a congregation. You come together with your pastor and you meet when you want. See, I'm not going to fall out over that with you. How about the communion bread? The First Primitive Baptist Church I belong to said that only a deacon's wife could make the communion bread. We didn't have any deacons. We had to send over to Plant City to get somebody over here to make the bread and bring it over to our church. That's crazy. They said, well, we're going to do it. I was new in Old Baptist. I didn't know. Finally, I said, I don't think, well, why do you again? I said, because I know the first communion, the deacon's wife didn't make the bread. I know that. You could almost see their hands going, out, out, get out of here. Well, I'm just telling the truth. I know it's probably some man down there kneading the dough. You know, it doesn't matter. What about buying communion bread? Somebody said, we can't do that. Well, you buy communion wine. You see how we can get caught up in craziness that doesn't make any sense? And we come together and our meetings are so filled with these trappings, the Holy Ghost can't get in. There's too much going on. There's too much things going on in the church that we've barnacles that we've put on the ship of the church. The church can't move. So we need to get rid of some of these things. And if they're not important, they're just not important. And if you like to meet on Thursday nights, that's your business. If you can get anybody to come here, I don't know. It's hard, brother. It's coming up I-4. But anyway, that's your business if you want to do that. And we don't have to fall out over it, over something like that. What about musical instruments? I believe the Bible is clear that we're not supposed to have musical instruments in the New Testament service. So I don't have any problem with that. That's clear in the Bible. What about family worship instead of Sunday school? I believe the Bible is clear on family worship. I don't have any problem with that. You don't either. You see, the things that are in the Bible, we don't have any trouble with. It's the things that are not in the Bible that we have a lot of trouble over. Whether we're going to be... I talked to one... You know, when I started preaching, I was very controversial. It's hard to imagine now, but it was the truth. And I had one brother come up to me and say, well, Brother Blanchard, I understand you use those little cups at your communion. I said, yes, sir, we do. He said, well, we're one cup Baptist here. I said, you got one cup for the men and the women? No, he said, one for the men, one for the women. I said, then you're two cup Baptist. Why do you want to fall out over something crazy like that? I don't care if you drink it out of a glass slipper. What difference does it make? Is it wine? That's the key. Is it wine? That's the key. I don't care how you present it, as long as it's respectful and honors God. And the same with the leavened bread. You can buy it at Publix, or you can have a deacon's wife make it. I don't care who makes it. Is it unleavened bread? If it's unleavened bread, I'm ready for it then. Then it's the right thing. So, in closing, and this doesn't mean a thing, but anyway, you'll pay attention a little more maybe. We're supposed to come together over the gospel. So what is the gospel? I'm going to give you a short one. Romans 8:29. You know this, you've heard it, but I want to glory in it tonight for just a few minutes. Get all this controversial stuff out of the way before we turn it over to the brother here and so he won't be hindered by my craziness. Okay, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Now that's the gospel. That's the gospel. I don't share that with other denominations. I won't let them change that on me. Whom he did foreknow. That means who God knew intimately. That's what foreknow means. Knowledge. That kind of foreknowledge. Whom God knew intimately. God knew me intimately before the foundation of the world. He knew my name. He didn't give it to me, but he knew it. He knew all about me. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. That means he predetermined my landing. That's all that means. I was on a plane. Man, it started getting real bumpy. I don't fly anymore, but it started getting real bumpy. I mean, it was horrible. And the little kids were having a ball. You'd think they were riding a ride at Disney. And I'm yelling at them, get in your seats. We're going to die. Pray. I'm scared to death. I mean, there was a little plane. It was up over Denver. And it was just floating. I get it. They were just having a ball. But we landed safely. You know, if I didn't know we were going to land safely, I'd have had a ball too. I didn't know it, but that's what predestinate means. God has predetermined my landing. I can go ahead and enjoy life. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven. You say, well, what about this, that, or the other? It's not based on this, that, or the other. It's based on God. And instead of using the word he, used the word God. Verse 30. Moreover, whom God did predestinate, them God also called. He's going to reach them. I don't have to reach them. He's going to reach them. He called them. And whom God called, them he also justified. Galatians 2:15-17 is talking about justification. Listen, this is a simple verse right here that will explain a complicated verse. God justified the people that are going to heaven. I am just before God. When Jesus came here, he did not ask for mercy for me. He paid the price. Amen. Therefore, I don't have to go into heaven like a beggar. There won't be any scales there. The Bible says the fat is the Lord's. When I walk through the pearly gate, God's going to look down at me and say, that one is mine. That is the Lord's. I'm going to walk into heaven, and I'm a joint heir. I've got everything Jesus has got. Me and Jesus aren't splitting it. I've got everything he's got. He said, that's the way I want it. That's why I died, so my children can come up here, and everything I've got, they've got. That's what justified means. I'm just before God. God looks at me through a veil of the blood of Christ. And God looks at me, and he looks down, and he sees Glenn. He says, oh, that Glenn, he's all right. And Jesus said, you ought to see him down below. He ain't all right. The angels are like, my word. But God looks at me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I look good. I look justified. And then he justified, God also glorified. In God's sight, I'm glorified. I'm like the angels. I'm better than the angels. I'm a child of God. Verse 33. Let me get my glasses on here. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, those poor people in the other churches. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So Satan appears before God and he says, have you seen Glenn, how he acts down there? God said, don't talk about him. My son's justified him. Don't talk about him. Don't bring him up like that. Get out of here. That's what the way I am before God. I'm justified. Even Satan himself cannot bring an accusation against me. I want to go down and close verses 38 and 39. This is the gospel now. This is the good news. But you know what good news is? Good news is good news. I like this explanation. Somebody comes to me and said, Brother Glenn, I've got a friend and he's been listening to your tapes and he owns a car dealership. And he wants to give you a brand new Jeep Wrangler. All you got to do is make the payments. That's not good news. That's not good news. Not to me, it's not. Just make the payments and it's yours. Well, that's what the other denomination, you can go to heaven, just make the payments. Well, that's not a gospel. That's bad news. But suppose somebody said he'd been listening to your tapes, he fell in love with your message, he's gone to church now, and he's living a better life, and he's got this car dealership, and he wants to give you a brand new Jeep Wrangler, and it's sitting outside, and the pink slip's in it. Well, that's good news. That's the kind of news I can get hallelujah happy over. That's the pink slip's in it, yeah, and it's got your name out. It's all yours. Well, see, that's good news. So this is the good news of the gospel. There's no payments to be made. Okay? For I am persuaded, Paul says. If Paul's persuaded, I'm persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, Winter Garden Church and Little Union Church, we're not going to fall out over details. We're together over the gospel. And that's what we're going to stay together over. May God bless you. Thank you for your good attention. Number 40.